You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Coming up on Total Access, The Locker Room.
Okay, I'm a young receiver coach, and I'm at Santa Monica Junior College, and my two guys are Steve Smith and Chad Johnson. Holy
How do you coach
those two guys?
What is interesting, me and Chad were not the best players on the team. We were just the loudest guys.
Welcome to NFL Total Access, The Locker Room. I'm Michael Robinson, joined by former head coach Brian Billick. Coach, what's going on?
Doing good today. We got a special guest today.
Absolutely. One of my favorites. We're going to let you guys in on what players and coaches really talk about inside the locker room. Today, it's all about the playoff experience. Steve Smith Sr., a man with over 1,000 receiving yards in the postseason, is joining us. And coach, this guy, man, his attention to detail. He's a little bit of a character, but once you cut through some of that stuff, man, he gets deep and he cares about football players. He cares about the playoff experience.
Yeah, he is a character, but he has character. And you're going to hear a locker room story you've never heard anyplace else.
Let's bring in the man, the myth, the legend himself, Steve Smith Senior, one of the astounding analysts for NFL Network, former wide receiver, all everything in the National Football League. Steve, man, welcome to the podcast, big dog.
What's going on, Mike Rob? How are you?
Hey, man, I'm doing great, man. I miss you, man. I haven't seen you in a long time, man. Yeah. I miss you, dog. We got to get together here soon, man.
Well, you know, they're not allowing us to, but.
you guys want to be alone? I mean,
No, coach. It's all good. It's all good. We're just catching up. You know what I'm saying?
I thought I was getting in the way here. Going on.
You're good, coach.
But, Steve, you know, we start every show off with a locker room story, okay? And look, I got to preface this by saying this. Not one of them stories we got to talk about on television because, you know, obviously. We got rules and stuff. We can't. Yeah. This is the podcast, man. Okay? After this hours. Behind the scenes. This is after hours, man. Let's hear your locker room story, man. Let's give us something.
All right. Well, because Coach Billicks is there, he knows all these parties, and he's been there. So I'll give you a Baltimore Ravens story. Perfect. So my first day – in Baltimore, I signed and, you know, came back to Charlotte. And so we have a coach Harbaugh said, hey, I need you here for OTAs because you are new acquisition. You're the oldest wide receiver. We need you present. I know you don't work out with the team and you do your own thing. You have, you know, I was in my 16th or 15th year. So I had my routine. And that was one of the things he said. So I know you said you're going to be here. I'm expecting you to be here on the first day. I said, coach, I'll be there. So I get up early and I'm coming into the facility and, I got in the facility early, but I started, you know, meeting and talking to all the new people. Now that I'm a Baltimore Raven, I'm no longer a free agent acquisition. I'm no longer being carted around and being sweet-talked, right? Hey, Steve, you know, and so came in at 7 o'clock, bro. I did not get into the locker room till about probably like 7:45, okay? We got an 8 o'clock meeting. And so I come into the locker room. Now, before I tell you what happened in the locker room, in the locker room, they have it to where they're not in sections where receivers to the right, quarterbacks over here. Everybody sits next to locker rooms, everybody. And so the locker I had, they called it a park place. So it was the expensive locker room area. Oh. It was myself, Terrell Suggs, Chris Canty.
The money.
Nada.
The high rent.
The money. Yes, the money.
And who else? Big Marshall Yanda, right? And they had said that locker room, you know, that area where all the big name guys were over the years. That's just kind of where it was. And then across the way, when you turn around facing the locker rooms, Dennis Pitta, you know, Joe Flacco. So the center of the locker room was kind of where court was being held, and then everybody else would go. So I come in there, and I'm about to go in my locker, and I go in there, and there is a dude, Ja. He's offensive lineman. He is sitting on my chair, butt-ass naked.
It's the locker room.
He's sitting in my chair.
Oh, it's different. My bad. My bad.
Not with a towel on. Not with shorts.
Oh, he was bare.
And everything. It's sitting on my chair. And it's not like it's a nice, comfortable padded chair. Stoop.
It's leather? Is it leather?
It's a wooden leather stoop. Oh. Sitting in my chair.
His juices on there, man.
I don't know if this is prior to the shot or after the shot.
You came at him like a spider monkey. I can just see it right now. You just
I looked at him. I said, hey, bro. Get your ass out of my seat, man. my bad, Steve. I looked at him. I walked right out. Please ask me why did I walk right out?
Why did you walk out, Steve? Why?
I walked into the equipment room, and Ja locker had to be moved because that was unacceptable on the first day. They moved his locker immediately. I got his locker moved around the corner. Suggs was on
and the ordered a new chair.
Oh, he took that chair with him. Take your chair. Take your locker, your stuff. It's like Martin. You ain't got to go home. But you got to get out of here. Bro, he was sitting. Ja Reed is the guy. He's an offensive lineman. Ja Reed was sitting. Wow. Suggs goes, man, we've been trying to get that dude from around here. All for the last 2 years, and you've been here for 5 minutes.
I said, hey, I'm kicked out of the club.
Stop. Hey, there's a new sheriff in town.
Look at you, man. Don't do that kid like that, man. Do that kid like that.
And so he was like, oh, I didn't know it was a big deal. You don't sit bare booty on another man's stoop.
I mean, you know, it happens, Steve. It happens.
I'm 5'9", bro. Ja is like 6'5".
He took up the whole chair.
He took up the whole chair.
My helmet doesn't even look close to your helmet. My clothes are not the same size as Ja. Like, here's my pants according to Ja right here, right? Yeah. Like, those are my pants. I'm 5'9".
Steve, you crazy, bro. But look, man.
Oh, that's what happened. That was my first day as a Baltimore Ravens. I had to get a dude evicted. He didn't pay. He paid on time. Yeah. His money was no good.
You got him up out of there, man. So
got him up out of there.
We talking playoffs, okay? Yeah. Playoff times. You played in what, 11, 12 playoff games, something like that, man. one of the greatest receivers of all time in the playoffs. And I like it because it's do or die. It's like, you know, you win or go home. What was your first playoff game like, man? Did you have some nerves?
Yeah, definitely have nerves. Definitely, you can feel the pressure, not of the team, not of the performance, but of the fans. Because, you know, when in a normal situation, I remember the local schools are having whatever team you play for, Panther Day, Seahawk Day, Raven Day, before the game. So every the principal is wearing, you know, even private schools are wearing the team colors. The whole city, they're giving out free, you know, promotions if the team wins. And so much money flows into that city with the opposing team coming in to watch the game, with the fans and family members. I remember there were times going to playoffs, especially a home game. Man, I ain't make no money in the playoffs. I actually got an invoice.
You owed some money.
I owed some money.
Well, the tickets you had,
because I had a suite my whole time, and so my.
You hear that, coach? Hold on. You're not going to just brush over that. Like, come on, dog. I had a suite the whole time, bro. That don't happen for everybody. I never had a suite.
Okay, well, I'm from a large family. Okay. My mom is one of 13.
Really?
So when I played in like San Diego, when they used to be the San Diego Chargers.
Yeah.
The San Diego Chargers, I had 52 tickets, dog.
Whoa.
Yes. It is.
And they all think you get those for free. You don't.
Yeah.
See, coach, in a black family, it ain't what they think. It's what you're going to do.
What you're going to do.
Yeah. Right. And 52. So between my mother, me, and my kids. So mom, Steve Jr., 13 aunts and uncles. There's about 67 of us. So only 52 were really allowed to either go because of they had a car. they were allowed to venture out of their jurisdiction of their parole, right? So a lot of stuff, man. So, you know, so for me, I had a suite at in Carolina, but then I also had tickets outside, so I'd be able to business-wise, be able to thank the people who's invested in either my foundation or me, my family, and then also having enough family. And there are just some folks that there's some family I couldn't have them in the suite, right? They just didn't know how to act. Right? We got that uncle that one too many beers and he forget what team he on.
Right? Whoever's winning.
Yeah. Or you got the uncle who, I don't care if little Stevon plays for the Panthers. You know, Cowboys is my team.
My team. I'm wearing the jersey to the game no matter what. Yeah.
You can't wear Troy Aikman's jersey or Deion's or Emmett's jersey when you use the fan because little Steve is paying for your flight, your hotel. And the food you eat, you can't be cheering for the other team. And then you can't come down into the other team's facility with the other team's jersey.
That's family. That's family for you.
So I gotta
ask this because we're talking about going into the first game, playoff game, or any playoff game in the atmosphere. But we're talking about with the family and everything. I want to talk about because always with the players, particularly young players, guys. They have no clue. They go through training camp and think, okay, I know what it's like playing in the NFL. No. Opening day. Okay. And then you get through the whole season going, okay, I know what it is to play in the NFL. No. Not until you get a playoff game because it goes to another
totally
level.
Different.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about – I want to hear about some of the stories after a playoff win because a playoff win, I mean, all the things you're talking about, and it comes to fruition and you win, and all of a sudden now there's no feeling like it. When I remember we beat the Oakland Raiders in the AFC Championship to go to the Super Bowl. Now, You talk about they had all the fireworks. You know this from being in Oakland. We ruined their – so those fans, they drug the fireworks out in the parking lot. Hell, we're not going to shoot them for the Ravens right here. But that five-hour, six-hour flight on that plane after beating the Raiders, the food, they played the game back. That was as sweet a flight, cross-country flight, as you've ever been. I want to hear about some of your best after-a-win moments in a playoff game.
Well, we played the Dallas Cowboys, but we had got beaten pretty bad earlier in that year. They blitzed us. That's when Eric Ekubon was, Mr. Under Armour, before Under Armour became what it is today. That when they had Terrence Newman, they had a lot of great players. What's his name? The quarterback that went to Georgia was playing for the Dallas Cowboys. Marion Barber was the running back.
Quincy Carter.
Yes.
That's Quincy Carter. Yeah.
So they had some great players. Roy Williams was safety.
Yep.
They blitzed the snot out of us, and they played us really well. And we went down to Dallas and just got pummeled. They blitzed us. We couldn't get out of our own way. So going into that game, we had so much fire and the fear of being embarrassed again by this team that when they kicked the ball off, it was like shaking a soda up for a week. And opening up, but the only difference is it wasn't a tiss. It never stopped, and we knew that because we knew what they were capable of doing to us. So we had to play in a way that we had to play fearfully, like to put this team away quickly.
Now,
and establish what was not going to happen this second time around.
On the flip side of that, because I've been a part of some playoff games where we've lost. And, you know, there's oftentimes I see the plane split. You got a group of guys, some veterans who knew that this was a chance to make it. And they're really pissed off. You got incentives if they made it to a certain round, all of those things. And they're kind of pissed. Then you got the young group of guys.
Like they're always going to be there.
Yeah, right? We'll be back next year. You know what I'm saying? They're smiling. Yeah. They're like, hey, it's time to vacation now. I'm glad this damn season's over. You know what I mean? Like, what was the plane like when you lost some of those games? Because I know on every team there's that dichotomy.
Well, I don't know if you were on that. I don't think you were on that team with the Seahawks when we lost. When was that? Jeremy Stevens was a tight end.
No, that was 05. Yeah.
So we were playing. We went down to Seattle and lost to them. Now, the fact of the matter is, we lost Nick Goings like the third play of the game. He got concussed. So we didn't have. We lost Deshaun. We lost Deshaun against the Bears the week before, and then we lost Nick Goings the third play of the game.
Wow.
So we were down to nobodies at running back, right? And it was very disturbing. I remember sitting in the locker room after that game. And I was so distraught and let down. Because I realized, 2 years before that, we lost the Super Bowl. And I remember how good we played and yet how that ended. And then now we're back in a couple of years later. And now we're a game away from going back. It left such a bad taste in my mouth that I really never was comfortable. I always knew the playoffs were a place where
you were never comfortable. What you mean by that? Like, what you mean?
Well, when we went to the playoffs to the Super Bowl in 2013, we beat the Philadelphia Eagles in Philadelphia. And the way we played and how we played, I wasn't really comfortable. And I was really upset and irritated at the lack of offensive firepower that we had. And so if you go and look at any of the photos, I'm not in any of the photos holding the trophy.
You regret that? I mean, that's a big moment, bro. I mean, but that's a big moment. I mean, I get you, Steve, but that's a big moment, bro.
I'll say it the way I want to say it. I'm unique like that where I don't necessarily have any regrets. I look back at it and I go, that's where I was. And that's just the dichotomy of how I think. You know, I know I was a part of that team. Now, but there's also guys in that photo, you know, that are holding that trophy that people don't remember those guys were on that team. So for me, it's like, you know, now that I'm older, I appreciate what we went through. I don't necessarily miss the photo, but I just remember how much of a task-oriented individual I am. And so that kind of makes me reflect on, you know, like you've told me sometimes, bro, lighten up. It ain't that serious, right? So that's more of anything. But I remember losing to the Seahawks. And I don't even know if they can get the picture, but someone had a poster that kind of said something that get out of here, go home. And it was going into the locker room of the visitors' locker room. And it was about three rows up. Let me tell you how pissed off I was, Mike Robb. I jumped up and yanked that poster from the dude's hands.
Steve, bro, why, man? That dude ain't got nothing to do with how y'all lost that game.
No, but it felt good because I ripped up the poster. Somebody was going to catch this rant.
Well, how do you guys, because you realize when you talked about in the airplane ride, Mike, that as you get older and you're in it longer, you realize, hey, this is hard to get here. And we don't know that we're going to be back. How do you impart that on the young guys? When you're the veterans in the team, when you're in, you know, and you were in Baltimore and now you're going to be that leader there and you were brought into that. And you got a bunch of young guys that don't get that just yet. How do you communicate that with them?
It's hard to communicate with these young men now because of what the NCAA and that playoff and that the BCS, all of that stuff. Some of these guys are coming in into the league with championship or playoff experience that they feel like it's the same until they go across the middle. And they get and one of those linebackers, or they running down, and Mike Robb is, you know, on the wedge, or he's on there, and all of a sudden they lollygagging down, you know, on a return, and pow, one of those veterans that come and say, "Hey, welcome to playoffs, Rook."
That's right.
And coach, to your point, like there was times, you know, and I love this guy, Golden Tate, good friend of mine. But there was times him and I got into it when we played with the Seahawks, because there were times where we lost and there were, you know, moments where, you know, I was an older player on the team. And I'm like, bruh, for you to be smiling and stuff right now, you disrespecting me. Yeah. Okay. So you need to smile later. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, you got into these contentious moments on the plane rides. You know what I'm saying? So there are times where just older guys got to just sometimes say, nah, bruh. We ain't having it right now. Shut up. You feel what I'm saying?
I remember in our Super Bowl year, you know, and as a coach, you're trying to monitor everything and see where you're at with it. And I can tell you the exact minute I knew we were going to beat the New York Giants. Because I never had a lot of rules. We didn't have bed check, didn't have curfews.
What?
But when we get down to Tampa, I told the guys, look, you know, we're going to do what we do. But one, I do have a rule. You got to go to and from practice on the bus. Because we were practicing at one of those directional Florida schools, Southern, whatever, and traffic and the whole thing. So I said, okay, so you got to go to and from practice on the bus, okay? It's the only rule I got. So I'm coming out of the locker room after our first practice, and Shannon Sharp's walking out with a rookie. And they don't know I'm there. And the rookie looks over to Shannon and goes, hey, my aunt and uncle are here. You know, they came to watch. You think coach let me ride back in their motorhome with them back to the – Now, how easy would it have been? How many players go, oh, yeah, check with coach. You know, that's not my deal. Shannon looked at him and said, coach said we're going to and from practice on the bus. Get your ass on the bus.
There it is. You
know? And right then I knew, okay, my gatekeepers were in charge. My guys were in charge. We were good to go.
The last thing I think is interesting, that it was brought up to me, and I have to go to the long version of it, is young guys that come out of college don't understand career and job.
Mm, break it down.
But I do. I don't look at doing television or playing football as a career, but I categorize it as a career, but I always looked at it as a job, because where I grew up, you either had a job or you did not. Mm-hmm. And that job meant you had responsibilities, you were critiqued, you were evaluated, and you had to be there on time and you presented yourself in the right way. Now, yes, I didn't realize that I was conducting myself as a career, mm-hmm. but understanding a job is something that's precious, and that it is not something that anybody can get. This is something that you earn. And these young men don't understand that the career that they're going out for to play in the National Football League, we use the word privilege. These young men don't realize it's a privilege until they get cut when they thought mm-hmm. they should be on the team.
It is.
And making the playoffs in your rookie year is almost like having success being a rookie, because it sets you up to believe, if I just do enough all the time, I'll be a Pro Bowler. I'll be a 1,000-yard rusher. Mm-hmm. I'll be a league MVP. But if you have a little bit of adversity, then you start to realize, and it manifests itself into, they start to realize that this career I have is valuable if I put in the work.
Absolutely. Now, Coach, I want to let you know this, Coach, because, you know, Steve, you worked with me on Good Morning Football Weekend for a few years. Loved him as a player. But what I've seen so much growth from this dude on the media side of things, his presence in front of the camera, his work ethic, knowing exactly what to talk about, always not just talking about receivers. He talks about old linemen. He talks about quarterbacks, defenses. And now you have a podcast, bro. Cut to it.
Yeah.
Talk to us about Cut to It, man. You know, it's your podcast. You told me you was going to do it, and yeah. Now you got it. You got it done.
Well, I'll have both of you guys on, but here's what I've been doing that I don't want to use the low-hanging fruit in regards of the easy ask of. I have Mike Robb, I have Coach Billick, but sometimes let me get the people I know. Well, mm-hmm. I don't really stretch myself. I don't really know how far and how good the content or the guest can be if I only ask my friends. Because the easy part is the first ask. The challenging part is the second season. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're already into our second season. So really for me is this podcast is it's the bridge to sports. But in those sports, when I have both of you guys on, I want to know, Coach Billick, how you got into sports, where are you from, and what makes you who you are today based off what you experienced way before the Super Bowls, way before you were the offensive coordinator and coach of one of my idols, of Randall Cunningham, in the back half of his career after months of rehab in Las Vegas. I want to know what Mike Robb, what did you experience? You are two of Seattle Seahawks players that took Celebrex as a painkiller and shut down your kidneys, and you have to holistically heal your body up. Like, those are the things that I love to find out and discover about individuals that happen to play sports.
There you go.
And that's what the podcast is. We'll talk about it. We'll talk a little ball.
No, that's great.
But I want to know who you are. Well, the individuals inside the jersey, and that's what my podcast and it's cut to it. So you get rid of all the mush, you cut to the point, right? And we got to bear with scissors.
I got to say, I'm from Southern California. I've been aware of Steve from his Santa Monica days, going to Utah, and I'm from a coach. I've been always wanting to ask this, because I started out as a receiver coach. Okay, I'm a young receiver coach, mm-hmm. and I'm learning what it is to be a coach and deal with people. And I'm at Santa Monica Junior College, and my two guys are Steve Smith and Chad Johnson. Yeah, holy!
how do you
how do you coach those two guys?
Well, a lot of patience.
Yeah, a lot.
but here's the thing that was really, really interesting with coaching us. In Santa Monica, because community college, you had guys coming and going all the time. We had no playbook. Right. So everything was by memory. What is interesting, me and Chad were not the best players on the team. We were just the loudest guys. Because he was from Florida and I was from L.A. He had gotten in trouble, so his grandma sent him to L.A. with his mom. And so it was this West Coast. This was, you know, back in the 90s, yeah. East Coast, West Coast.
Yeah, man.
And so I'm like, well, if you love Florida, take your ass back to Florida then. You know?
We don't need you out here.
Yeah. So, but really what I really learned, and that's where, you know, people say the chip on my shoulder or all of that stuff. I learned at Santa Monica really quickly because we had a guy named Demetrius Posey who was like 6'7". And J.P. Lossman used to come over from Venice High School and when he was a JV player and throw us passes.
Really?
Yes. When he was going to UCLA, he used to play with us in 707s to get him up to speed. So I've been knowing J.P. Wow. since he was a ninth grader at Venice High School. But what was really cool is I learned very quickly when I was getting recruited because I was 6'1 on the depth chart. Mm-hmm. But I learned very quickly I wasn't tall enough. That was always the response. I wasn't big enough. I was, you know, when I got drafted, I was 176 pounds, mm-hmm. right? And so I learned very quickly it was built in me that I wasn't tall enough and I wasn't big enough. So it wasn't this chip on my shoulder. I was told, and this is something that me and Mike Rob, we haven't talked about. This is something I live with going in 2020 with everything going on. And this is a phrase I end my podcast with every time. I am a unique person. There is no one like me. I am worthwhile. I am competent and lovable. And for a long time, that word competent and lovable and worthwhile has not been instilled in me as a young man and also as a man until where I had to learn and figure that out. And so when you don't have that built in you, any criticism wears you down over time.
Cuts to the core.
Yeah.
Cuts to the core because you've heard more criticism than encouragement. And great so, job. And that's one of the reasons why people say, oh, you're always feeling like you got to prove somebody wrong. No, it's not. I feel that's what I experienced. Mm-hmm. Even in my 16-year career, until I'm done playing, people say, oh, man, who's the next Steve Smith? But when Steve Smith was playing, y'all didn't want to give me no credit.
Yeah.
But now y'all want me to say who's the next me. Hell, y'all ain't even told me I was ready.
You're absolutely right, Steve. Well, I got to say this, man. I love your growth. I loved your growth on the football field, but I definitely love your growth as a human being, as a black man here in America, in media.
Yeah.
Great job, Steve. Great perspective from both of you guys. And that'll do it for this week's episode of Total Access, The Locker Room. For more insight with The Locker Room point of view, check out the latest episodes every Wednesday and Friday on Apple and Spotify.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.